You're listening to New Hampshire Now with Chris Ryan, presented by the New Hampshire College and University Council.
This is New Hampshire Now, 109, 1450, and nhtalkradio.com. I am Chris Ryan. Appreciate you joining us for the program. This hour of New Hampshire Now is presented by New England College, as well as the Prescription Center, and this segment of the show brought to you by Rath Young and Pignatelli, a national impact that's uniquely New Hampshire. For more information, check out rathlaw.com. I'm going to be joined on the program right now by U.S. Senator Michael Bennett from Colorado. He was in the Granite State yesterday campaigning for President of the United States. He was not a part of the Democratic presidential debate, which took place on Tuesday night. He's going to talk a little about that and his trip to New Hampshire, a little on health care in Syria as well. Senator Bennett, how are you?
I'm doing well, Chris. How are you?
Awesome. It's always a pleasure to have you on the show. And as I've said before, folks here in the Granite State should really give you a look. I think you're a great fit for New Hampshire, a strong leader and an individual that I think brings a lot to the conversation. So hopefully you'll get that look here in New Hampshire. But what are you sensing in regards to that? You mentioned in our last interview something that's really stuck, and that is that this is a field that has very soft front runners, in my view, and yours as well. They did not have a strong lead. You don't see the bumper stickers. You don't see, you know, the lawn signs. It feels like right. There could be movement.
I think that it's because there's been it was a mistake by the DNC to sort of nationalize the race prematurely, to make it all about the debates. And people in Iowa and New Hampshire haven't yet made up their minds. I think the mind that they're trying to make up is who in this field is best situated to beat Donald Trump, and they're trying to figure that out. They know some people have been around for a while that have name recognition, like Vice President Biden, but they wonder whether he can beat him. And then there are a bunch of new people, and they wonder whether we can beat them, beat him either. So I think that's what people are trying to figure out. And in both states, the people that I've met who are, you know, have been around this for a very long time feel like the decisions are getting made later than ever before in this field. Maybe it's because it's so big.
Yeah, and New Hampshire is a state that does not determine who it's going to vote for really until later, but it feels like that there's usually a lot more support for the quote-unquote front runners at this point in time, real tangible support, and it doesn't feel like that's the case during this cycle. Want to talk to you a little bit about Medicare for All, and you have talked extensively about this, and we saw it in the debate brought up once again, where Elizabeth Warren just is not being honest in regards to what Medicare for All is and what Medicare for All is going to cost, particularly middle-class taxpayers.
Right.
And I feel like this is not something that you can just spring on, you know, during the general election or spring on if you become president of the United States, like, oh, this is what's going to take place. There has to be a conversation so individuals know if, in fact, they're going to support this, what type of pain this is going to bring to American citizens.
I think that's exactly right. I mean, Chris, I've been, I think, maybe uniquely in the field, been consistently led on the public option since we passed the Affordable Care Act in 2010. That is my position now with Medicare X, which is a bill I wrote long before I ran for president, that would give everybody in America the choice if they want to stay on their private insurance down, if they want to get on a public option administered by Medicare, they could do that too. It raises taxes on nobody, and it actually improves the country's fiscal situation. It's hard to know what's not to like about that, and I think we could get to universal health care in 3 years. Medicare for All, which I've been pointing out from the very beginning, makes illegal insurance for private insurance for everybody in America except cosmetic insurance. And Bernie tells us it would cost somewhere around $32 trillion. Now, Bernie's been totally honest about that, and he believes the American people are willing to pay $32 trillion in taxes for the privilege of giving up their choice of private insurance. And I respect his ideological commitment to his position. I just disagree that that's what the American people want. And I don't believe that's what they want. I think substantively, it's a lousy position, but politically, it's a terrible position. And particularly if you can't tell the truth about how it's going to be paid for. And Bernie has told the truth about how he can pay for half of it, about $16 billion. And he will be raising taxes on everybody making, I think it's $29,000 and above, and on businesses as well. And I don't know what Elizabeth is going to use to pay for that, but just to give you a sense of how extraordinarily large that is, $32 trillion, I'm sorry, $32 trillion is the equivalent of 70% of everything we're going to spend on the federal or all the revenue that the federal government's going to collect over the next 10 years.
And I think that's a really good way to look at that. And you consider all the federal government does at this point in time, including running a Medicare system for retirees. And
that's right.
The type of astronomical cost that that is going to be is really eye-opening. I want to get your sense for the race as a whole, because to me, there's three lanes right now. There's Joe Biden, who represents a steady, calm return to America's past, a normalcy, if you will, in the White House that some folks yearn for, the Obama years, etc. There is the Bernie and Elizabeth Warren lane, which is one that represents a fundamental change to our country in many different ways. And then there's, to me, the middle lane. And Pete Buttigieg had a good night, and there's a lot of other candidates that could potentially fill that lane. That's the new leadership lane, where there's a progressive ideals, but somebody that is going to bring the country right in a different direction. Do you see, despite the fact that the numbers indicate that there's more, obviously that Warren and Sanders and Biden are doing best, I still feel like that middle lane is the most populated in terms of voters and really where folks want to go and to find a new leader.
I don't think there's any question about it. I mean, I think those guys are doing well because they've got a lot of name recognition, and I understand it, and they've earned it. I mean, by Joe Biden being vice president, Bernie Sanders running before, Elizabeth Warren's very well known. But I just don't think the American people, are ready to sign up for something that's like basically free stuff that, unfunded programs and empty promises. I really don't think that's where the American people are. I think somebody who's going to actually tell the truth about where we have to head in the future, not take us back to the past, but where we have to head in the future. Do you have an agenda that actually unifies the American people so that we can not just unify the Democratic base, which is really important, but win back some of the 9 million people that voted twice for Barack Obama and once for Donald Trump, and create opportunity for Americans? Americans don't want free stuff. They want opportunity. And for the last 50 years, they haven't had enough opportunity because, we've had a terrible lack of economic mobility in the country and an education system that unfortunately is reinforcing the economic immobility that we have in large part because we're not funding it properly. I mean, the plans that I have put forward in this campaign are targeted directly at trying to drive opportunity for the American people, and I think that's what the American people want.
Quickly on Syria, because I know you have to catch a plane here.
I literally have to catch a plane. I'm still trying to get my lobster roll.
Is this?
I got a lot of multitasking.
There's a lot of things going on there, but you have to get a lobster roll before you leave New England. That's definitely key. Is this the lowest point in the Trump administration, in your view? What has happened in Syria, the bloodshed that we have on our hands as a result of this?
Yeah.
And there's been a lot of low points, but is this the lowest point?
I think it's the most pathetically weak foreign policy decision that any American president has made in generations. And no other Republican president would have done what Donald Trump did, and no other Democratic president would have done what he did. No patriotic American president would have done what he did in Syria. I mean, for 5 years, we had a successful effort to root out ISIS and destroy ISIS, and we lost 6 people in that theater. The Kurds have lost 12,000 people, and Donald Trump has one conversation with Erdogan from Turkey, the president of Turkey, and the next thing we're walking away with our tail between our legs, abandoning our allies. And by the way, he says he's taking troops out of the Middle East, but while he's taking that group of thousand troops that were there to keep this mayhem from happening, and have been keeping the mayhem from happening for 5 years, he's putting another 15,000 in because of the trouble that we're facing from Iran and he's sending troops to Saudi Arabia. So it just doesn't, it's completely incoherent. I mean, utterly incoherent.
You're absolutely right. And the letter that he wrote to Erdogan was bizarre, and the threats in that. And Erdogan said, I'm placing this in the trash and I'm moving forward. You got to catch a plane. We'll talk again soon, all right?
The guy, it would be nice to have a president who actually supported our allies and did not coddle tyrants and wasn't intimidated by tyrants. And Trump is.
Yeah, it's bizarre. I will appreciate your time. Talk to you again soon.
All right, Chris. Thanks for having me. Talk to you later. Bye.
U.S. Senator Michael Bennet from Colorado joining us here on the New Hampshire Now program. A presidential candidate that definitely deserves your attention this hour of the program, presented by New England College as well as the Prescription Center, and that segment of the show brought to you by Rath Young and Pignatelli and RathLaw.com.
You're listening to New Hampshire Now with Chris Ryan, presented by the New Hampshire College and University Council.